All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the First In podcast brought to you by the VBFD. We're very excited. We got a special guest here, Battalion Chief Corley Moore from the Moore Fire Department. Welcome to the show.
Brother, I'm excited to be here, man. I'm excited.
I'm excited to have you here, man. I'll be perfectly honest with you. I was not familiar with your stuff before Officer in Service, and since then I've dug in on it. So you host your own podcast, which is the Weekly Scrap. What else? Can you give me a quick rundown on who you are, where you're coming from, all that fun stuff?
Firefighter. What do you like to say? I like to say husband, father, firefighter. Now grandfather, brand new grandfather.
Get out of here.
But just start. Yeah. Brand new, whole new experience, 2 weeks. But very excited about that, obviously. But husband, father, grandfather, firefighter, podcaster, author. That's pretty much the bio.
So no, it's awesome. And we were just kind of joking around before the episode started though. So you're Chief Moore from the Moore Fire Department. And as you said, no relation.
Right. No, we tried to find out if there was, you know, we own some of the city or something, but no such luck.
Awesome. Well, I got a big kick out of your presentation that you did with us recently, which was the 9 L's. And we got a chance as an officer corps to get to listen to that. Where did that start? Where did that come from? What gave you the idea to want to go down that road? And obviously it's something that you put a lot of work into. It's something that you've polished over, I'm assuming, a decent amount of time. So what was the catalyst for that? Where did that come from?
I'm a passionate reader. I read to try to read 1 hour every day. It's a life goal of mine. I've been pretty successful at that goal since 2018. But I started with the firefighter things like building construction, fire behavior, tactics, strategy, John Norman, you know, handbook attack, all, you know, building construction. But eventually I moved into culture and leadership, I've always been fascinated by human motivation, even since I was a kid. And so it's a fascination of mine, a passion of mine. And once I discovered there were books about it, man, I just started voraciously just devouring them. And one of the things I put together was it was originally for the development of the officers in my department, just a, hey, these 9 L's, which it started as the almost like a joke about live, laugh, love, you know, the names,
the corny signs on the wall.
That's when, and it was just my brain going, wait a minute, there's others, you know, live, laugh, love, lower, live, you know. And I came up with, originally there's like 14 L's, but eventually there was some repetition and stuff, mm-hmm. and over time, but that's what it started as, was just a class for officers at my department to kind of, these are some lessons I've learned that have worked well for me. And that's the start of it. So it started as a class long before it was a book. And then luckily, as it was developed, without getting into the backstory of why I started building presentations, which is a whole nother rabbit hole. But as it developed and I developed the presentation style, I was given a chance to go teach it at Oklahoma City's fire department, which is a pretty good sized fire department right next to us.
Sure.
And I got to get a lot of reps with their lieutenants academies and their majors academies and their officer academies to give that presentation. And I got a lot of good early feedback on it to refine it. And so that's where it honestly came from. And then the book came after I'd been teaching it for about 3 years, the book came, and it was trying to take the visual of the 9 L's and turning it into something that was written. And it's been a very successful project all in all
Heck yeah.
Very well received.
Yeah. No, I think it was here, and it definitely seems like it's been well received everywhere. So that is under the banner of Firehouse Vigilance, correct? Which is your company?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. Awesome.
I don't know if it's a company or not. Me and the wife are Firehouse Vigilance, so I don't know if company is right, but yes, okay. We are Firehouse. It's the never-ending fight against complacency. That's kind of what it is.
And when did that start? Where did that start?
2018 was when it started. It probably started in 2016, if I'm being honest, but actually made the name in 2018. In 2016, I got to see Mark Von Oppen speak.
Okay.
And that man changed my whole mindset towards the fire service. Because until then, I'd been in the, at 2016, I had 19 years on the job. And so at that point, he was the first person I went and saw him speak. Brian Brush actually brought him into my area, and I went to the leadership symposium where he spoke. And he was the first one. It was like honestly like scales falling off your eyes, where I was like, you can be good at this job, you can love this job, you can be passionate about this job and brag about it and feel good about it. Like, you, that's something that can happen. And it was unbelievable, because that was not the culture I was immersed in. You know, I was in the mindset of, we make the same amount of money whether we go to a call or not. It's not my emergency, you know, all those kind of things. Hey, you know, we can train or we can sit here and watch this movie. What would you rather do? All of that stuff. And his, Mark Von Oppen, completely changed my life. And that's what started me down the road of thinking that way. And eventually He actually wrote an article, and I don't know which one it was, and I talked to him about it before, and he's like, I don't even remember writing that, Corley. But in it, he said that, because I, two things, and I'll try to make this brief, but two things is we had a retired battalion chief, Terry Scott, had a huge impact on my career. And one of the things he said when he was retiring, he said, Corley, remember, the hardest fight you will ever fight is the fight against complacency, right? And I was like, and that's a powerful piece of advice. So that piece of advice, and then Mark von Oppen wrote in one of his blog posts, he said, the number one weapon against complacency is vigilance. And so Firehouse Vigilance was born from those two quotes.
Okay.
And that's kind of where it came from. And that was the original thing. And it was originally, I would take my thoughts from reading all these books and articles and things, and I'd write blog posts. And I basically started a blog right at the point on the internet when blogs were completely dying. You know, that's how savvy I am.
Yeah.
So
it's got its own MySpace page. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Like, I'm right on the cutting edge. So that was where it started in 2018.
No, it's awesome. And I love that those quotes are great. It just reminds me a lot too, you know, talking about the fight against complacency, because it's so much easier, like you said, it's easier to sit down and watch that movie than it is to train. It just is. It's the same way, you know, it's having a conversation in the firehouse just the other day about the idea of being positive, right? It's so much more delicious to dig in and talk trash or be negative and that kind of thing. Oh, it tastes good. But it takes,
and we're good at it. We're really, really good at it.
I mean, the fire department has created some artists, some true artists in that arena. But it takes more work to bring that positivity and go, all right, come on, let's bring everybody back to the center. And you know, it's a very similar concept of trying to get everybody pointed in the right direction.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely.
So, kind of walking it back a little bit. So we're kind of talking more in the present and more recent past. So where were you born? Where'd you come from? And give me a little bit about your background.
I was born in Farmington, New Mexico, which is the Four Corners area up in the northwest corner of New Mexico, up there by Colorado, Arizona, Utah. And that's where I was born. It's where my mom was from. My dad was from Oklahoma. And shortly after I was born, they moved back to Oklahoma. So born in New Mexico, raised in Oklahoma. I'm an Okie through and through. More Oklahoma basically my entire life. A lot of traveling. Like Oklahoma was the base, but there was a lot of traveling. In fact, I think when I was 2 years old, one and a half, two years old, my parents went to Australia. So I was in Australia for like a year and a half, but from age like 2 to 3, I don't remember any of it. I have pictures of me there wrestling like kangaroos at the petting zoo, but I don't remember any of it.
Was this a sanctioned fight, or this just happened? You rolled into the little sanctuary there?
I think back then they would just let toddlers run around. That's with just a thing, baby kangaroos. Yeah.
So, and correct me if I'm wrong, this was like a mission trip. Your parents were missionaries.
My
dad
was a missionary down there to Australia. He's always been involved in ministry in some way, shape, or form. Whether it was a missionary, being a pastor of a church, or you know, even his current, he's still got. If anybody ever wonders where my projects and my passion for projects come from, it's my dad, 100%. He has all the same type of personality types of chasing these different projects. And like right now he has one called the Children's White House, and it is a ministry to bring the country back to God through children praying at the White House. And he's built, literally built a miniature White House. And it's like I said, if anybody wonders where I get my crazy ideas from, it's from my father.
When you say miniature, like backyard size, the size on a table, what are we talking here?
No, about an 800 square foot. It's got two wings. So, it's got two. I wish I could show a picture.
It's not that small.
No, it's not. It's an impressive structure. And it is literally, when you see it, you go, that's a miniature White House. You know, so anyway, like I said, if anybody wonders where I get my ideas from or my passion for different stuff, that's it.
Well, I mean, there is something to be said. You now, you know, go from town to town, you know, delivering sermons on the fire service. So there maybe is a direct line between those two things, I would think.
It's possible. Yeah. There is some influence.
So Firehouse Vigilance, let's talk about the book that just came out recently. So Firehouse Vigilance is essentially is architect the right word? It's the umbrella under which the Book of Search has been put together. Can you tell me what that is and where it came from?
It came, man, it is such a, you know, I'm a firm believer, everything happens for a reason, right? Everything happens for a reason. So many pieces fell into place for this thing to be. And I almost feel uncomfortable saying Firehouse Vigilance Architect or anything like that, because it almost shortchanges all of the pieces that fell into place. But I was a major player in those pieces. This is, I don't know if this will be put out video or not, but this is my copy of it.
Oh, yeah.
There's too much. There we go. Get a little light off of it. And this was the original proof. That's why it says not for resale.
This is the one.
Yeah. But this one has a lot more errors because we found about 300 errors that we took out by pouring through this. When I say we, me and the wife, filled it with company. Post-it notes and yes, the company.
Yeah.
All of the employees.
Yeah. Yeah.
But long story short, I was in Kansas, Zach Golombeski. I always give him credit. He had a conversation with me about, I really want to teach my guys search, but there's no good document on search, mm-hmm. And we discussed it, and the Clackamas County search manual is probably the best document that exists.
Sure.
And we talked about it, and he said it would be killer if someone would just get like everybody to write that knows about search and put it all in one thing, and that got the gear going. So that was the, I always want to give him credit for that. And then I have, because of the weekly scrap, because of the podcast, and the guests that come on it are amazing. First of all, amazing. And I have what I brag about. I call it a very good guest to friend conversion rate. So if you're a guest on the podcast, you end up being my friend, whether you want to or not. And I'll call you on the phone and I'll ask you questions. And it's amazing. But I have a very good network of very big movers and shakers in the fire service. And those two things started coming together was this idea for getting subject matter experts to write an article and then my network. So that was the original thought. And I was like, this could be amazing. It could be a book of nothing but search from all these people. And I reached out and I was like, what can we do it for? Because I didn't want to make it a for-profit thing. Mm-hmm. It needed to be for something. And right at this time, which is about 2 years ago, Brush had just, it'd been out for a while, but he'd finished his dissertation on the firefighter rescue survey and the first 1,000 grabs and everything that he had done with fire. And so that was in the forefront of my mind. And I'm like, of course, firefighter rescue survey, all the money from this could fund, because they'd also just started their Patreon, because, firefighter rescue survey, people may not know this, it's pretty much self-funded by those guys coming out of their own pocket. They don't say that and things like that. No one, and they probably don't even want me saying that, but a lot of those guys just like, oh, okay. And it's not like it's big money. It's $100 here, $20 there, $50 there, but they just fund it themselves.
No, I didn't know that. That's, yeah.
And they started the Patreon to start to get some support from the, just to support it, because nothing's free. And so I was like, ooh, it'd be great if everything from the profit of this thing went to the firefighter rescue survey. So that was kind of the start. And then I called Nick Ladina, who is a big part of the firefighter rescue survey. And I said, hey, I have this idea. And I pitched it to him. And I wanted to get his blessing that they would take the money, which it was a formality. But he said, it's crazy that you say that. He goes, because about 2 years ago, we started to work on the search manual. That was what they were working on, was a search manual. Okay. Fire Nuggets and Firefighter Rescue Survey, those same group, those guys all run the same circles, and they'd started to build and write a search manual. Now, it had lost steam along the way, and it had kind of good intentions, but their focus was on Fire Nuggets and their focus was on firefighter rescues, and it kind of lost steam. But one of the things they had made was this big long list of every topic you could think of on the subject of search, and they'd gone through and put names next to a bunch of those topics, and they'd even written about, I don't want to shortchange them, like 10 to 12 articles they'd already written, some good, some not as good. But Nick, we had a Zoom meeting, much like just like this, and we sat and discussed, and I said, hey, I'll take this list and I'll start reaching out to people from the scrap, the network. I call it the network, and see where it goes. And that was 18 months of wrangling cats, but it happened. It did. It came through. Like I said, everything happens for a reason. There were people that I asked to do it, that reached out and they said, yeah, absolutely. And they fell through the cracks and they didn't deliver. And there were people that came through like gangbusters. And I'm telling you, if you've seen it, it turned out so.
Oh, it's awesome.
Like Matt Doney's articles on window conversion I randomly flipped to his page.
Yeah.
But you can randomly flip to anywhere, and it's just a beautifully well put together. And the thing is, not a single author sat down with another author and collaborated to write their articles together. They just wrote. I'm sure there were conversations, mostly way before they wrote their articles, like over beers after conferences and things like that. But it was such an organic ordeal. And all 43 of these authors, man, just gave up their knowledge. And it's a who's who of the fire. I mean, it's, like I said, everything happens for, ask Paul Combs to make a cover. And did he deliver like gangbusters? Like
he no, donated it's slick. Art. Yeah.
It's just, I'm telling you, man, it's everything happens for a reason. And that is the epitome. And I think it's such a microcosm of the American Fire Service or the fire service. I don't want to even just leave it to America, the fire service and where it's currently at is the fact that there is all this knowledge out there. There is. And the fire service is shrinking because of social media and the internet and all this kind of things. And the fact, like, you couldn't have made this 5 years ago with the self-publishing and Amazon being the distributor and, you know, all of it being able to be done out of an office like this, coordinating with a cell phone. You could not have done it. But anyway, so I think everything happens for I think it's a beautiful, beautiful thing for the fire service. And the fire service made it happen. And it made it so successful. Just to run numbers by you, I can only track the PDFs that are downloaded from my website. So that doesn't include like what people have shared and emailed and like Engine Company Resurrection and Smoothbore Cartel and all the different places you can get it on social media. Just through the website, over 6,500 downloads of the PDF. And that's free.
Yeah.
Free to the fire service. If you don't have it, if you're listening to this podcast, if you don't have the Book of Search, free, go download it, find it, share it with everybody. It's free. And then if you want a hardback copy, you get this on Amazon. Only place to get it. There is no bulk discounts. All the money goes to Firefighter Rescue Survey. If it is marked down, it's because Amazon did it. The money stays the same for Firefighter Rescue Survey. It initially launched at $69, right? The day after it launched on Black Friday, Amazon dropped it to like $49. And so people could save, but Firefighter Rescue Survey made the same no matter which one you bought. I'm telling everybody, I think right now it's currently sitting at 50, and that's Amazon that controls that, not me. But Firefighter Rescue Survey makes the same. They are taking that out of their cut. So just so you know.
No, I think it's spectacular. I mean, everything from the fact that you guys put it out there for free just to get as many eyes on it as you can, advance the fire service. I mean, every bit of this is just what's awesome about the American, or as you said, not even just the American Fire Service, the fire service of people donating their time, people donating their effort. It's really cool to see. You made an interesting point there when you're talking about it, where you can flip open to pretty much any part in the book and find a good article. Talk to me about how you wound up on the format that you did, where it's not a cover to cover book necessarily, where you start on page one and work your way through, where you can jump to different sections of the book based on what you want to look at that day or pick a drill or whatever the case may be. So it's divvied up where you can open it up pretty much anywhere.
No. And the initial layout in my head, and again, if my mind is a storm, I love that quote. I think that I don't remember where I got that from, but that's my mind. Like right now, even while we're having this conversation, but there was a point where I had, I think, seven different sections I wanted. And it started with like before the call, the tones drop, in route, on scene, you know, decision, action. And I think that what it finally ended up being was mindset. And that handled a lot of, you know, like mindset, preparation, decision, then action. Mm-hmm. So that's the four sections. And then the drills, the PDF version has the drills. The hardback does not have the drills. And people ask, why'd you exclude the drills? We did it to shrink the print size to make it more affordable.
Sure.
So Firefighter Rescue Survey can make more money. Plus, you don't want to take your fancy, nice-looking hardback down to the drill ground and put it on the bumper and get it wet and all that kind of stuff. You can print the PDF. Anyway, sorry. Like I said, I apologize for my brain. But that was the original plan, was these different sections. And then you realized a bunch of them, well, how many sections can you honestly write about in route? You know, and well, what is in route? Well, that's actually, you know, your mindset before the call ever drops, or maybe it's decisions, you know, so you start. Ultimately, I settled on the four because it seemed to encapsulate all of them. And that was when I asked people initially to write an article, always didn't have a specific topic. I just said, I need a mindset article. Can you do one? And then they would say, well, what about this? What about this? And there were some that didn't get made that I really wish would have. But again, there's only so much you can do at the end of the day. But it just started to make sense that you could not do this in a linear fashion. It couldn't be done linearly. You couldn't say, start here, go here. It had to be done with, what are you thinking about on the aspect of search? Now flip to that section and start reading on it. And then once that, I don't know if there was a specific point where it was like, okay, this cannot be a textbook. You know, it's a it's a reference anthology, you know, I guess would be the closest approximation.
No, it's like you said, it's not a textbook in the sense that it's not even saying there, this is the right way to do X, right? It's basically saying, hey, here's how we view X. And maybe there's not opposing opinions, but different ways to skin the cat, even within that same book of, you know, ideologies, different ways of looking at the same thing, which, you know, kind of sparks, it's what sparks those great conversations in the firehouse. It's what sparks, you know, it's what we were trying to begin with this podcast that we're really just getting off the ground here is, you know, you get the individuals that are looking to progress the fire service and they're having these conversations, but how do we, whether it's on in print or in a podcast or whatever the case may be, let's get it on record and let's talk about it and get more voices involved is really the biggest thing.
I think it says it at the beginning. It says if you disagree with people in this book, that's fine. But hopefully if you disagree, it'll cause you to step back and look at what you believe and either reinforce it, you know, and that's fine, or challenge it. But hopefully you can be open to being challenged and reinforced or even changing your mind. So, and that's the beauty of learning. I mean, honestly, that if you can't learn, you can't grow. So 100%. And that's, I do think it's a strength of the book is the fact that it's not claiming to be the only way or the de facto way. It is. And every person in it is a subject matter expert on their thing. Like Mike Ciampo wrote the thing on tower ladders. You know, it doesn't get better than Mike Ciampo writing on tower ladders. And each person was instrumental.
No, it's awesome. Let me ask you this, not to put you on the spot too much, but was there anything putting this book together that challenged something that you, mentality you had, a tactic you had? Was there anything putting this book together you looked at and went, oh, well, darn, all right, wait a minute. Maybe I need to reevaluate how I look at XYZ.
No, absolutely. I was trying to think, one of the ones that sticks out the most, Jeff Eckert wrote one called The Dirty Side of Primary Search. And it honestly, I still don't know if I agree 100%. I really don't. Like, I talked to Jeff, but I get his point. I'm just, and you have to read the article, but basically it's about finding a dead person inside. Yep. And what are you going to do when you find an obviously deceased person? And we have no problem calling it on an EMS call. You know what I'm saying? But inside we're going to drag out a skeleton, you know, and that's the article. And I'm like, you know, that there's that side of me that says, you know, I love like Mo Davis and the people, and Lombardo even says, my job isn't to play God. My job is to get them outside. God decides if they live or die, not me. And I love that mindset, but that's not his point. Mm-hmm. His point isn't to say, find somebody and play God. His point is saying we need to train realistically also. And so that one challenges me still as I talk about it here. You know what I mean?
Well, and it's funny. So I was just reading through that article last night, as a matter of fact, and I thought his point was interesting, where if you commit resources and the biggest challenge we have is time. It's always what we talk about when it comes to search. That is the number one enemy. It's time. So are we going to commit time and resources to a lost cause? Seems like a cruel way to say it, but if there's someone else further down the hallway that we could save and we can't because we're spending time, it definitely makes you go, okay, wait a minute now.
That's the, if you ask me, and that's the one that makes me think the most, because it is a controversial, but I love the fact that it makes you think long before you get in the hallway and find that person. And that's what I love about the book is those kind of things. And I love Jeff. Absolutely glad he wrote the article for it. And there's others in there like that, but that's the one that sticks out in my head instantly when you ask the question. And again, 46 articles. It's almost like seeing the forest for the trees after a while, after editing them. My guys at the station got tired because I print out, I'd like, which of these layouts do you like better? Do you like it with the line here? And the, you know, and they're like, chief, no one cares. We're firefighters.
Yeah. Formatting is not usually our forte, if you will. So no, it's awesome. So part of the book, some of the articles I was reading through were talking about basically that the philosophy on search has come so far in even just the last 5 to 10 years. So where do you think we're headed in that arena? Is it going to continue to develop? Of course it is. I mean, that seems almost silly to say, but where do you think the next horizon is in that concept?
Man, I always, when I look at it, I always think we're in such a great, I'm sure firefighters 100 years ago were like, this is the best time to be a firefighter, you know?
Yeah.
But I think this is the best time to be a firefighter. I think technology is always the easy, low-hanging fruit in that answer, because it is so amazing the trickle down, because the fire service gets the leftovers. You know, Andy Starnes talks about how awesome thermal imaging is, and then there's the fire service's thermal imaging, and it all has to do with money, you know? But And I loved Lombardo. He even recently talked about when he first started getting air packs on the rigs, he talks about how he was imagining, you know, 20 years from now, it's going to be this thing you stick in your mouth like Star Trek and you go inside. He goes, I never dreamed they would get bigger and heavier, you know?
Yeah.
So that to me is the part is technology, the implementation of technology and how it's going to affect our tactics. And especially as street, like the UL FSRI research and all of it's done through it, you know, interior, exterior fire streams, the search and the single family dwellings and all of the actual data from the burns and even what they're getting done with the multifamily dwelling stuff. Those, the actual, actually having data now to back up all the experiential stuff that used to be relied on of the stories of crawling down hallways from the old dogs and stuff, actually melding those two and driving forward the advancement and implementation of the technology, I think is the exciting part, as opposed to just anecdotal and no data. And then, hey, this sounds like a good idea. Let's put this here. Let's put a tiny, you know, situational awareness tick in a mask. And is that a good idea or not? Let's put more electronics in our SCBAs. Is that a good idea? You know, anyway, I think that the real world application of technology with street vetted tactics, I think, is what I'm most excited about.
No, it, absolutely. And it's talked about in the book, exactly like you said. It's pairing that, you know, very analytical scientific side of things with people that have actually been there, boots on the ground, and can mesh those two things together. So we do a little segment on our show here. What is the thing that when it's brought up in, so it doesn't matter if it's a good topic, if it's exciting, if somebody's passionate about it, then it almost doesn't matter what the subject is. So what's something for you? It can be about search. It can be about the fire service. It can be about anything in the world. What's something about when you hear this topic come up, you kind of sit a little straighter and you're like, oh, wait a minute. I want to sink my teeth into this one.
Oh, yeah. That's a great question. Yeah. Whew. Man, I'm a nerd. So I'll start off by saying that I'm a nerd. I'm a huge nerd. I love all things nerdy. But I will say books is probably the number one thing I get passionately just ate up about. And I wish I read faster. Like I'm a fast reader. I'm an extremely fast reader. I love fiction. In fact, well, I won't bore you with Wind and Truth just came out like 3 days ago. So if you know anything about Brandon Sanderson, but if you do, you do. We've been waiting on it for like 2.5 years. Amazing. It's so, but not the point. He writes books that are like, I don't know, 1200 pages long. They're way down there on the bookshelf. So I won't bother you, but reading 100%, whether it's fiction, it's storytelling and actual narrative and character development and payoffs and plot and all that kind of that's the story structure. I love story structure or nonfiction, human motivation, leadership. And because I think those two are so closely tied together, and I could get nerdy about human motivation, like into the weeds for hours, and people just rolling their eyes and like, what are you talking about? So when I find someone who does have that same, if that conversation comes up, I'm ate up with it. So yes, yeah. That would be it. Yeah. Nerdy stuff.
No, that's awesome. Well, listen, I certainly appreciate you hopping on our show here. I thought, you know, everything was awesome. And as you said, firehousevigilance.com, if anybody wants to get the Book of Search, Amazon for the hard copy, the PDF is out there for free, pushing the fire service forward. Any closing thoughts, remarks, anything we didn't touch on that you wanted to mention about the book or anything else?
No, brother, it was amazing. Thank you for having me on. First of all, I'll say thank you so much for having me on the First Hand Podcast, Andrew and Darnell in the background. But I want to say this about this. This right here, the Book of Search, this is the first grab edition. This goes away. Technically, I was going to run it for 30 days, but since it released on like November 28th, I just said, okay, it's easy to remember, the first of the year. So January 1, 2025, you can no longer get the first grab edition. The cover will change to the white lettering, and the first grab edition will go away forever. So for the next 3 weeks or so, you can still get it on Amazon. There's no print run, but once it's gone, it's gone. You cannot get it ever again. So if you want the collector's edition, that is officially the first run. And there is a place inside the book next to each author's bio where there's specifically left a blank space for that author to sign and put a message in the book. Ooh. So the goal is when you go to a conference or they come and teach at your department, you can find them and have them sign your Book of Search and collect all 46 or all 43 authors.
You got to catch them all. Anyway, yeah.
It's a Pokemon thing. Yeah.
No, that's awesome.
You got a little nerd in you.
Oh, you know. Yeah. All right. Well, I appreciate you, man. And we'll catch everybody next time.
Thank you, brother. It was a blast.
Awesome. Thank you, man.